Hi, this is Rick Emerson, and the following encore of Legion of News is brought to you by Squires Electric. Whether it's electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, or wiring of any kind at all in your home or business, Squires Electric can make your life easier. Find out more at squireselectric.com or call 503-252-1609. Squires Electric.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
It was all kinds of weird right there. It was all turned down and wonky and befuddled and besmirched and sullen. Hello, Eric.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Well, I'm under-amplified.
Aren't we all?
I'll just shout louder. From high atop the milkpacking district in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon, this, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson, alongside Mr. Eric D. Snyder, filling in for Don Taylor. Eric Snyder is, as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
A man is shot dead in southeast Portland. John Edwards is ordered to repay $2.3 million in campaign funds. And a banjo is stolen from a pet hospital.
Okay, then. As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you, yes, you, began this hour. And now, without further ado, pay heed for this. This is Legion of News. Why, hello, Eric D. Snyder. How are you on this fine Thursday?
I'm delightful.
You are. You are delightful, and it seems delighted to be here. You're positively aglow with enthusiasm
That's
and excitement.
Right. That's right.
Preparing to give the good word to the people, to educate, to inform, to edutain.
That's right.
All right.
I'm prepared.
Coming up later on this hour, entertainment news, science on the march, and myriad other things of that nature. Here is Mr. Eric D. Snyder at the news desk.
A man was shot late Wednesday evening near a hut near Southeast 135th and Division and later died at the hospital from gunshot wounds. Portland police were called 135th and Sherman just after 10 p.m. after reports of a shooting. They found the man suffering from life-threatening injuries, and he was rushed to an area hospital. Several surrounding blocks were cordoned off. No suspect details were immediately available. Early Thursday morning, police towed away a blue two-door Mercedes from the scene. The car had driven through fencing along 135th at Sherman.
And where is it? Where is Sherman at? I'm assuming someplace bad.
Near Division, apparently.
Okay.
So yeah.
So that's a big yes.
Yeah.
It's everywhere you don't want to be.
The news here, I think, is that the police arrived after the man had already been shot, as opposed to being the ones who shot him.
Well, you know, they probably happened to be in the area. You kind of figure that's sort of a the twain will always meet.
Right.
You know, eventually.
Usually when someone gets shot in Portland, I assume the police shot him.
Yeah.
But this time, no.
You know, I figured that it's either the police shot him or the police were headed to shoot somebody. And then on the way said, what about that guy right there? He's already been shot.
He's pre-shot.
Half our work has been done for us.
Exactly.
My God almighty.
So good for them. So apparently someone crashed through a fence and then somebody died. Shot.
All right.
Sounds like the makings of a great story once there are some details.
It's stories like these where I feel bad about following it up by saying, well, excellent, because it's really not so much.
No.
I mean, not as such. It's not excellent, not in the traditional sense of the word. But,
let's assume the victim was a terrible person.
Yeah.
Well, I always do. I mean, I just, you know, that's it's sort of the opposite of the golden rule, or I assume about others the way that you figure others assume about you.
Right.
All right.
There you go.
In which case, I assume that they're a terrible person, yet stylishly handsome with delicate, fine features. Here is Mr. Eric D. Snyder at the news desk.
John Edwards. You remember him, right? John Edwards?
John Edwards. Yes. Yes, I do.
Politician of some kind.
Yes, with a penis.
Yes, one of those. The Federal Election Commission ruled today that John Edwards must repay $2.3 million in federal matching funds given to his 2008 presidential campaign. The ruling follows an FEC audit that found that Edwards' 2008 campaign underreported how much cash it brought in and overstated how much it spent. In total, the campaign was given $13 million in federal funds. The order is separate from the federal felony charges that the former North Carolina senator faces for allegedly violating campaign finance laws while attempting to cover up an affair during the same campaign. Edwards had just over $2.6 million in cash on hand at the end of June, meaning he has enough campaign cash to repay the taxpayers, according to the website Politico.
So this is, and wait a minute, this is, who ruled that this was the case?
This is the Federal Election Commission.
So is this, because they were talking about maybe him facing some jail time, going to stir, as they say. And so was that this?
I don't think that was this. I think that was probably the other thing. Yes, this is separate from the federal felony charges that he faces, which was for violating campaign finance laws in the attempt to cover up his affair.
So he's facing a whole lot of...
Yeah, he had the one thing of trying to use money to cover up the affair and another thing, totally separate apparently, of underreporting how much he brought in and overstating how much he spent.
Okay.
So basically his 2008 campaign was corrupt in about 100 different ways.
Well, you know, look, when you're good at something, you want to do it in every facet of your life.
That's true. That's true.
When you can, you know, when one can help the poor, you do that everywhere. When one can swindle, you do that in every... You want to? Here's a guy who's seems really, really sleazy, though. His name is oh, and now it's escaping me. He's the guy who wrote. He's Edwards' sort of aide de camp, who wrote the tell all that came out last year. The politician.
Yeah, I don't remember his name either.
His name is escaping me, but he just seems weaselly in every. I mean, they really seem like a matched set of Fabergé salt and pepper shakers. You know, they both seem like totally scurrilous, awful, horrible people. One of whom was inevitably going to write a book about the other, and
sure.
It's like this guy just drew first.
Can you imagine if John Edwards had actually won?
Oh, how great would that be? That would just be the best. It's like this is how I know I'm not a good person, because I was not given that particular gift. I was not the Heavenly Father did not reward me with an Edwards presidency, which would have been awesome. Because when you think about how close he really came when he, in the grand scheme of things, because
sure.
He was, I'm even no less a pundit than Bill Maher actually said at one point. He said, this is back, I think, right before the Kerry Edwards election, so it was kind of clear that they weren't really going to win.
Right.
But I think Maher actually said, John Edwards won't be president this year or vice president this year, but he will be president someday. And I think a lot of people, including myself,
yeah.
kind of believe that. But
even 2008, it came down, and it was Obama and Hillary Clinton, and John Edwards was... among the
yeah.
top for the Democratic.
I mean, he's just, as Hunter Thompson would say, he's so crooked they have to screw his pants on every morning, and which is sort of awesome. I like the idea that he just came within an eyelash of becoming the most powerful person in the... we really elect some horrible, horrible people in this country.
We do.
All right. Well,
speaking of which, a new poll shows that Sarah Palin remains a factor in the GOP race.
Yeah.
She's the comedy factor.
Yeah, she's the zany next-door neighbor of the...
Mitt Romney leads the current GOP presidential field comfortably at the moment, nearly doubling the support of his closest challenger, Michelle Bachmann, according to a new Washington Post ABC News poll. But Romney's standing, as well as the rest of the field, could easily change with the entry of, you guessed it, Sarah Palin.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Without Palin, Romney polls at 30% to Bachmann's 16. But should Palin jump into the race, she would garner 18% of the vote, bringing Romney down to 26% and Bachmann down to 12%. So if Palin were to suddenly announce that she's running, she would suddenly be in second place above Michelle Bachmann. And those two are neck and neck for being crazy. Like, they're both trying to out-crazy each other.
I wonder if this has suddenly become Barack Obama's favorite television show.
Probably.
If he just opens himself up a cold one and just turns on the television, and let's see what's on the crazy channel. And it's like, there's Michelle Bachmann with her big bug eyes, and Sarah Palin with her everything.
Her assaults on the English language.
Yes.
Yeah.
So awesome.
The new poll, the Alaska Republican also scores higher than all of her potential GOP rivals on the question of who best represents the core values of conservatives. And she leads the pack among voters without college degrees.
Well, yeah.
Or teeth.
I mean, it's so easy to snark, but I mean, really, to think that Sarah Palin best represents the conservative values or the beliefs and positions of the, quote, average Republican is really just, you want to talk about just damning with faint praise.
Yeah, that's because what that means is that she best represents the core values of, like, the sort of extreme far right wing that is sort of hijacked.
They're pinheads, Eric. Just say it.
Well, I'm trying to be diplomatic.
No.
But you know, there are plenty of the people now being called rhinos who are like the real old fashioned Republicans.
Is that what they call them?
The Republican in name only because they're not conservative enough.
I see. Okay.
And they've sort of hijacked that whole half of it.
Rhinos.
Yeah. Oh, you hadn't heard that?
No, but I've heard the Republican in name only, but I didn't realize they were called. Rhino sounds way too tough, though.
Yeah.
You hear rhino and you think, you know, that's when you said rhino before you actually told me what the acronym stood for, I assumed that was for your old school, stout-hearted, you know, stodgy Republican that wasn't with all this new age clinginess and, you know, touchy-feely sort of.
No. I mean someone who's not extreme enough to still be considered Republican. Palin, if she decides to run.
How glorious would that be? How wonderful would, how green would my valley be if Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann were somehow to run like together?
What if they were running mates?
Oh, it would just be the best thing in the history of things. I mean, I can't even, you know, and I mean, I wouldn't even need to leave the house for entertainment. I could just sit there and I could just watch any channel like at random, mm-hmm. any hour of the day, and amusement would just be brought to me by the glass teat. It would just be a wondrous time. It's not going to happen, though, sadly. They'll just pick Mitt Romney or somebody who's totally uninteresting.
It'd probably be Mitt Romney, yeah, because those candidates, the Bachmans and the Palins, are fun to look at, but when it comes down to it,
they're not going to
get the votes enough to be, like, they're not really seriously potential presidential candidates.
No, they'll pick Mitt Romney because he's not embarrassing.
He's not insane.
Yeah. Doesn't, you know, make stuff up all the time and constantly put his foot in his mouth. One can hope. But have you taken a good long look at Michelle Bachmann's crazy eyes, though? I mean, it's like, and she's got the crazy eyes and I believe not a little bit of Botox going on there as well. It was, I have to tell you, I wish that I'd been able to take a photograph of this, but it would have been impolite, impolitic, as they say, to do so. When I was on the plane coming back from Las Vegas on Monday morning, there was a stewardess on the plane, or whatever it is you call them. What do you call them now? Flight attendant.
Sky waitresses.
Sky waitress. There was a skirt on the plane. a bit of fluff, who was bringing me a toddy.
Yeah.
But she had, it was that thing where, like, you don't know if she's actually a sociopath or if she just has an unfortunate face that doesn't quite know how to smile. And it was that thing where she would lean in really close to you, as they sometimes have to do on the plane, and she would say, "And what do you want for a drink?" And she had these eyes and this smile, and it was like the last thing you see before the knife comes out. It was the last thing you see before your face ends up on Ed Gein's bedroom wall. And I asked other people, I was like, are you seeing that? And they're like, yeah, crazy eyes. And she would sort of lean over and offer to help people, and then she would, you know, and she'd hand them the drink, and then she'd move on. Thank you. Enjoy your Bloody Mary. And she'd move on. And people would kind of look at their seatmate like, what is up with her face? I tried so desperately to get a photograph of her crazy eyes just so people could, you know, could appreciate it. But it's kind of like Michelle Bachmann if her lips were drawn back frighteningly far from her teeth all the time.
What you're describing sounds Lovecraftian.
It really was. She was the color of space. She was the thing that should not be. I'm Thoth. I'll be your waitress today. You're experiencing Legion of News right now at Cascadia.fm. Don't forget, you can get this later on the day via iTunes or as a direct MP3 download here, or at Cascadia, at Cascadia.fm or at LegionofNews.com. Also on your mobile device, that is mobile.cascadia.fm. Coming up next hour, the Rick Emerson Radio Program today. Penis Watch coming up. Also,
Corpse Watch.
Brittany Watch, and not one, but I swear to you, two of the worst things you've ever heard in your life. We used to do this segment, which I guess we still do, as of today, called The Worst Song You've Ever Heard. And today, really, I came in with one, and then I was gifted another.
Nice.
So I have two installments for The Worst Song You've Ever Heard. That's coming up next hour at rickemersonshow.com, where you, yes, you, can be amused for the low cost of just 32 cents a day. Here is Mr. Eric D. Snyder.
FBI foils a national diamond theft ring that hit Oregon. Federal agents have arrested five men accused of stealing $1.4 million worth of diamonds from jewelry stores across the country, including three in Oregon. Investigators said in mid-December, the men staked out Margulies Jewelers and stole approximately $147,000 worth of diamonds. According to detectives, a few weeks later, the men staked out Kassab Jewelers in Lake Oswego and took off with $25,000 worth of diamonds. Weeks after the heist at Kassab, federal agents said the men got a loot of diamonds worth nearly $300,000 from Hart Jewelers in Grants Pass. The men are also accused of heists in California, Tennessee, and Nevada. There's a quote from acting special agent in charge of the FBI in Oregon, Alan J. Peters. He says, "This is not some Hollywood fantasy film filled with A-list stars and fancy cars. This is a criminal case with real victims stretched across the U.S.
What film is he thinking of?
One of those films where the...
Caper?
Some caper film, yeah. Right. Something with George Clooney, probably.
Okay.
He praised the work of Portland and Salem police and the U.S. Marshals in helping to break up the ring. The Oregonian reported that two men were taken into custody in Salem. Five people indicted in Portland were charged with interstate transportation of stolen property and conspiracy. Two of the five appeared Wednesday and in court and were ordered detained as flight risks pending trial set for September.
All right, so just agree, it's not a Hollywood film.
No.
With exciting action and dangerous damsels.
No, some criminals all in their 20s and 30s, and they all got arrested.
Just a bunch of scum.
Yep.
Just a typical band of nitwits.
Yep.
All right. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Eric D. Snyder, sitting in for Don Taylor. And here he is again.
A man was found naked, and then he was tased, and now he's under arrest.
Wonderful.
End of story. No, he's the man accused of hitting and killing a local author. His name is Corey Jensen. He had been hospitalized since the crash last month in Portland's West Hills. According to investigators, Jensen was driving a friend's car when he hit author Cynthia Rabe, who was out for morning jog. After the crash, they said he got out of his car and headbutted the windshield of another car so hard that it cracked. He then ran away. They found him naked and tased him to get him into custody. Jensen was released from the hospital this week and booked into the Washington County Jail on manslaughter and felony hit-and-run charges.
So Cynthia Rabe, is she...
I'm not familiar.
Apparently she's somebody of note, but...
Apparently. I remember that story when it happened a couple weeks ago. I was not...
So she was jogging, and he kind of plowed into her.
And then he got out and headbutted another car and ran off.
Why would you headbutt a car? How would you even do that?
I don't know.
Presumably the car's moving. I mean, unless it's just standing still, in which case the headbutting just seems superfluous. You could just kick it.
Well, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
Well, apparently he was some kind of crazy because then eventually he wound up being naked and running around and having to be tased. So
some kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I hope that's what it says on the police report, on the crime blotter, the intake log or something. Patient appears to be, quote, some kind of crazy, end quote. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Eric D. Snyder is going to continue to read the news. I, myself, I'm going to be getting up on the desk, walking over to the other side of the room for like 15 seconds, turning on a little air.
A little warm and a little stuffy.
A little stuffy. Well, you know why? It's because of our bloviating. So I'm going to go adjust the air. I'll be right back. I'll just be right over there
okay.
in case you need pithy comments.
Right.
Or if you just need me to go like,
okay. Tolls are possible on the interstate bridge in 3 years, according to this thing. Drivers crossing the interstate bridge across the Columbia River between Portland and Vancouver, Washington, may be required to pay a toll as soon as 2014. The money would help fund a new bridge across the river, according to Patricia McCaig, spokesperson with the Columbia River Crossing Project, which is managing the planning of a new interstate bridge. McCaig cautioned the so-called pre-tolls are not certain, since they need to be approved by the board overseeing the project.
Where could this toll bridge be?
It would be the one between Portland and Vancouver.
No, I never take that bridge.
Well, then you'd be off the hook.
The hell with them.
And this would be a pre-toll. This would be to raise money to fund the new bridge, basically.
Imagine charging people to go to Vancouver. I mean, that's either a great idea or a terrible idea.
Well, what you're doing is you're
it's not even like a sin tax.
Well, but it would be the other way, too, coming back.
Well, that's
you'd be charging them a fee to be able to get out of Vancouver.
Well, let's be honest. I think people would pay that, though.
Exactly.
I mean, that's...
Exactly.
Okay, so it's a half great idea.
They're in the new report. They're looking at this as a possibility. The newer projections expect less traffic than earlier estimates. It also rejected an idea to increase tolls each year once the new bridge is built. Together, the new projections cut expected money made for the new bridge by as much as $598 million. Early tolling would bring in an estimated $200 million, and loans from a federal fund might make up the rest. The idea is that their new plans mean less money is coming in, so they got to make up some money, and so that's a possibility.
All right, then. I guess toll bridge is one of those things that I'm supposed to be irritated about because it's the man jacking us for money or whatever.
Right.
But I guess if you're not using the bridge, then you have to pay for it. That seems fair.
That actually seems like the most fair, that
yeah.
You only have to pay for the thing if you're actually using it.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, it's really, that is a... Yeah, see, somebody said you're charging people to leave Oregon. It's the I-5 bridge. Now I don't even know whether I'm in favor or not. Now I'm all confused. It's become a funhouse mirror of a story.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, whatever. Well, you know, since we don't charge any sales tax on anything, they should add it all up, and you pay when you leave.
Let me just
do all your shopping in the state, then you leave the state, then you pay at the toll.
Here's the thing about that sales tax that can be a little confusing. So I was in Vegas, as I said, over the weekend, and, you know, I'm never sure. I guess we should wait until next hour to talk about this. Hold on a second. I'm just kidding. Okay. You know, I had a whole question about
sales
tax.
Make a note of it.
Hold on, I'm going to make a note of this right here. Worst songs ever. Sales tax. Scrolling. Hold on. Scrolling. Sales tax. Doesn't that sound exciting? Sales tax discussion. Then we'll talk about water rights.
I already can't wait for the next hour.
Songs. Ever. All right. Excellent. And so forth. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. We're joined today by Mr. Eric D. Snyder, who you can hear Fridays. That would be tomorrow, 11 a.m. to noon, right here at Cascadia.fm, as half of Movie BS with Bear and Snyder. What will you be talking about tomorrow, Eric?
Well, we'll be talking about Captain America and Friends with Benefits. It's that new one where the Justin Timberlake and Mila Kunis have sex.
Oh, that's right. I saw an interview with him. He was talking about that yesterday. He continues to be... like almost improbably poised and intelligent, and not in a way that seems like he's been given pre-scripted, you know, sort of jibes or answers. Like,
yeah.
He just appears to be legitimately sort of funny and graceful all the time,
which is annoying because he came from a boy band, and so we're inclined to make fun of him and not like him.
Seriously,
but it turns out he's actually like funny and charming and talented.
Damn him!
And he's a great SNL host.
Yeah, he really is.
Yeah. So,
all right, so we're talking about Captain America and Friends with Benefits. That is tomorrow, Movie BS with Baron Snyder, right here at Cascadia.fm.
That is right.
Excellent.
You want me to say something else now?
Well, or we could just sit here. Why do we always have to be talking? We could have a comfortable silence.
I feel like we're that point in our relationship.
Seriously, yeah.
No need for words. Well, but I think you want to know about the banjo that was stolen from a pet hospital.
I do.
Police, this is St. Petersburg, Florida. Police are looking for the people who burglarized a St. Petersburg veterinary hospital twice in recent months. Among the stolen items, an antique banjo. The burglaries happened at the Central Animal Hospital. During the midnight hours of May 9th and July 8th, surveillance video shows men taking money from a cash drawer and rummaging through drawers during the May 9th burglary. He is later seen leaving with a banjo case and a plastic garbage bag. Inside the case was an antique Gibson RB3 Mastertone 5-string banjo, and in the garbage bag were several cameras and electronics. The same suspect, along with another man, is caught again on surveillance video from the July 8th burglary. Money was again stolen from the cash drawer.
Why is there a banjo? It was at Penn Hospital?
Yeah.
Why is there a banjo there? I mean, was there any particular reason?
An antique banjo, no less.
Right. It seems...
No reason is given, yet it seems like an odd thing.
Seems like there must be a story behind that in some way.
I would guess maybe that one of the doctors or someone there owns this banjo and had left it there for safekeeping.
And so then here's another question. So did they break into this place? Did they burgle the joint looking for the banjo, thinking, hey, the pet hospital, that's where they got that banjo? Or were they in there looking for, like, hey, that's where they got that tranquilizer gun? And then, hey, look, banjo. And then, yoink, and they're gone.
Yeah, except they seem to have been after money. And that seems like a pet hospital is a strange place to go if you're just looking for money.
No, that's
true. I
get
if you're looking for drugs, but no, they just took money. Money and banjos.
This whole story is just a wash in confusion.
This would make a good caper film.
It really would.
Forget those diamond thefts.
That's what I'm saying. All right.
The guys who break into a pet hospital and steal banjos.
I think it's more of a caper sketch. It's more of a musing.
Because banjo sounds like the name of a dog.
It does.
So you think somehow they were commissioned to go steal a dog named Banjo, but instead they stole a banjo.
A dog named Banjo. I have to tell you that one of these 7,000 producers that I've had on this the show over the years, a woman named Christina Carlson, who was a fixture on the show for many years, a long time ago, she actually had a dog named Banjo.
See?
And I think it was missing, and it was either missing a leg or its tail. It was missing something that was adorable. Tail. So it was a tailless dog named Banjo.
Aww.
Yeah, it was, and she was like the whitest person on earth, too, so it was perfect.
That is adorable.
Yeah, it really, yeah. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Coming up about 5 minutes from now, we'll have Science of the March. By the way, did I hand you the sound?
No, you threatened you never did.
I printed that out. I got it right here.
Oh.
So I'll hand this to you, and then I will kill a little bit of time while you sort through this by saying, hold on, wait. Wait. In here are two different sets of space shuttle cuts.
Oh, okay.
And so I think that so we'll do the like these two here in science, and then we'll do the rest in the Rick Emerson Radio program. So there's a whole pile of sound there. So we'll do half of those space shuttle cuts here. The other page we'll do next hour. Also next hour, we got a little bit of Tiger Woods sound coming up. That I'm going to wait until next hour because it's probably more of a discussion that we're able to have here given our time constraints and so forth. Science of the March coming up bottom of the hour. And later on, we got your entertainment news that is coming up around 45 after. That would be about 20 minutes from now. And the Rick Emerson Radio Program next hour at rickemersonshow.com. Here is Mr. Eric D. Snyder.
A so-called cut, cap, and balance measure approved earlier this week in the House is now gaining momentum in the Senate. Republican Senator Mike Lee...
How much momentum?
Momentum.
That's right.
Republican Senator Mike Lee says he wants to see the plan passed in the Senate this week.
This is not just the best plan on the table for addressing the debt limit. This is the only plan. There is no other plan that anyone has offered that's been reduced to legislation that's moving through with substantial support in both houses of Congress.
Lee explains why it's so important the measure be tied to a constitutional amendment.
The only real way to bind a future Congress is by amending our law of laws, the U.S. Constitution, which one Congress cannot ignore. It's the only way we're going to solve this crisis. It's the only way that we'll be able to restore financial stability and fiscal responsibility to America.
All right.
Now, if you say so.
House Speaker Boehner says there's are actually two massive issues to resolve.
This is three?
Yes.
All right.
We have a debt ceiling that has to be raised, and...
No one is giving me a back rub.
With the size of our debt, our credit rating is going to be downgraded.
Yeah. All right.
Fascinating.
Yeah, it's, I know that I'm supposed to care about that, but it's just not possible. I do.
Well, not with that attitude.
Well, because it's not possible, largely because I still have no idea what the hell they're even talking about.
Well, here's the problem, as I understand it, and it's entirely possible that I'm wrong on every count. But the reason that it is hard to grasp is that the debt ceiling is just a like theoretical, figurative, non-binding thing. Anyway, the debt ceiling is where Congress passes it and says we can't borrow any more than this much debt. And so if we get to that point, then we have to start defaulting on the loans. But it's a totally arbitrary number.
But if they just sort of go, well, it's bigger now.
Yeah, exactly. And usually that's sort of a non-issue. I mean, it's been raised like 3 times in the last few years, 10 times in the last 10 years, I think. But at every time, there's a little bit of a well, maybe we should cap it now.
Right.
No, now. No, this should be it. No, now this should be no further.
No fooling. Right now. Right. This instant.
But the thing is, if they don't raise it, then we start defaulting on loans and everything falls to pieces.
Okay.
So it should be kind of a no-brainer about raising it. Like, raise it and then start getting tough on cutting spending and stuff.
Because that's always how that works.
Well, but the
one always leads to the other.
Well, I mean, obviously, and it doesn't, but the other option seems disastrous. Sort of cutting off one's nose to spite one's face.
I just wonder who we're... I mean, it can't just be China that we're... I mean, I wonder who we're defaulting on loans to. I mean, everybody says China, but I read somewhere that China's only like 9% of that.
And then I think a lot of it is probably Oprah. Actually,
I'm wondering if it was somebody's rich. If it was, in fact, somebody's rich grandfather, this isn't a gift. You understand? This is a loan. And cut that hair.
Yeah. And then here's where I get to the part that I don't understand at all, which is what happens if we do default. Like,
yeah.
So what if we owe China money? What are they gonna like? Are they gonna come take it from? Like what? I don't. I really don't understand.
I think that was what Dennis Miller said at one point. He's like, why don't we just not pay it? I mean, what are they gonna do? Come take our car away? I mean, you know. And it's like I really have no idea.
I don't
but,
either.
It sounds like whatever happens, we're going to start spending responsibly after this, though. Going to quit going to that payday loan place.
Uh-huh.
We should totally get, you know, we just need one of those big consolidation loans. That's really what the United States needs. Just one of those, you know, where we just, the guy on TV with like, you know, covered with question marks or whatever that tells
right.
you how he can consolidate your bills and then get them all and boost your credit score within like 24 hours.
So instead of making payments every month to like 20 different countries, we make one payment
exactly.
to the guy with the question marks on his suit.
Right.
And he distributes them to our various creditors.
Or we just get Paul Sorvino to take care of it for us. He seems like a guy who could make things happen.
Yeah. Joe Pesci.
You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Coming up later on this hour, you got your entertainment news. Are we prepared for Science on the March?
Oh, we're prepared.
Fantastic.
We're prepared up the wazoo.
Here's your, We're hella prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Here's your Science on the March for Thursday right here at Legion of News. This is brought to you, of course, by Squires Electric. You can find out more about them by going to squireselectric.com or calling 503-252-1609. You can also go to facebook.com/squireselectric. While you're there, do yourself and us and them a favor and hit the big like button, if you would. They can come to your home. They can come to your business. They can come to your home-based business. They can make sure that everything is running in tip-top condition. If they got to upgrade, if they got to install, if they got to repair, if you got to pass an inspection coming up later on, you want to make sure that you pass it the first time, and you don't have the man coming back and giving you what for with his sticker that says F in bright scarlet lettering, and he puts on the front of your business, driving you and your whole family into shame, and bringing sackcloth and ashes on your on the name of your house forever. You don't want to deal with that, so you just call Squires Electric. You get an estimate up front, so you know about what it's going to cost you. They are licensed, bonded, and insured electrical installers, contractors, and supervisors, and good people on top of that who make a fine cobbler. And I'm not just saying that for kooky effect. It really is true. Technically, they're not making the cobbler. It's one of their girlfriends who makes the cobbler, as is her place. Mm. But here's the thing. But it's fantastic. It's wonderful.
What kind of cobbler is it?
It was, I believe it was a cherry cobbler.
Oh, very nice.
It was exceptional. So you can contact Squires Electric at 503-252-1609. They are the proud sponsors of this year's Science on the March. Here's Mr. Eric D. Snyder.
Cobbler not included. Atlantis landing brings an end to the NASA shuttle program. Oh, we have sound for this. The space shuttle program is over. The shuttle Atlantis landed in Florida just before 6 a.m. this morning.
Let's see. Hold on. I'm going to make sure that I've got this music at the right volume level here so that we're able to hear this, because lately these cuts have been kind of quiet. All right. What is the name of this cut?
Shuttle 01.
Shuttle 01 sounds something like, wait for it,
nose gear touchdown. Having fired the imagination of a generation, a ship like no other, its place in history secured, the space shuttle pulls into port for the last time.
They're just trying to make us cry now.
At an end.
See, that's they're just trying to make guys just choke up Brian mm-hmm. song style in front mm-hmm. of the TV everywhere.
Mission complete, Houston, said Navy Captain Christopher J. Ferguson, commander of the mission. After serving the world for over 30 years, the space shuttle has earned its place in history, and it's come to a final stop. The shuttle program spanned 30 years, sending 355 astronauts into space on 135 different flights. The Atlantis, this particular space shuttle, was responsible for 33 of those missions, accumulating just short of 126 million miles. Look at some frequent flyer bonus for that.
If only we had something with which to redeem those.
Yeah. I think they can go to Mars and back on that for free now. On those miles?
I think that, did they say that this space shuttle, that they're actually not even going to be using the shuttle that they just retired today? It's just going to go, like, sit in a museum somewhere?
Probably, yeah. I mean, it's all over. It's all over.
You know what they should totally do? They should just charge you. They should just let people fly, like, you know, like the next time you have to go to Orlando to visit your grandparents. But, like, if you're willing to pay top dollar, you get to fly there in the space shuttle. I mean, not, like, actually in space.
Sure, sure.
I mean, that would be awesome. I would pay more for that. Yeah, they never ask me these things.
Yeah, well. Larry Chow, who flew on 3 shuttle missions and is now an executive at a company working on private space flights, says it's sad to see all the resulting job losses at NASA.
There's no way to sugarcoat it. I mean, there are a lot of people that are going to be out of work, and it's I'm worried also that we're going to be losing this corporate knowledge, if you will, of how to build and operate and launch and recover spacecraft.
Well, I think as I noted a few weeks ago, there was some talk when an asteroid came near the planet last year of, you know, well, like in Armageddon, we just have to send a guy out there to blow it up. And then it was revealed that we disassembled all of, like, the whatever, like the V4 rockets or whatever the hell that we used, you know, to boost things into space that right. would be able to put us on an asteroid. And then we just managed to lose and destroy the plans for how to build new ones.
Yeah, well,
so
that's what happens.
That's, you know, they're just with Mr. Brady's plan somewhere.
The people on the internet were saying that what we ought to do. This
the
is
people
our,
on the internet.
Yeah, this is our last chance to pull a great prank, which is when the shuttle comes back, everyone in America be dressed in ape costumes.
That's a great idea.
And this was our last chance to do that because they're not doing it anymore.
Damn it.
We blew it.
Too late do we think of the truly great notions.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, well,
mm-hmm.
what are you going to do?
Yeah. Teaching evolution is up for debate again in, you want to guess which state?
Arkansas.
Texas.
Ah.
Very close. Texas is like the Arkansas of Texas.
There is Texas. Hey, is Texarkana a place where the two touch?
I would believe so, yes.
I have no idea how that actually works. I don't know anything about geography.
Well,
actually.
The two states are next to each other.
Do they? Are they? Really? Uh-huh. I thought Arkansas was up higher somewhere.
Well, it is, but Texas is very big. It borders many states.
And it's oddly shaped.
It is very
oddly
shaped.
It's got that Tetris block thing going on. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, the debate over teaching evolution in public schools is resurfacing at the Texas State Board of Education. The board is meeting to consider supplemental science materials for the upcoming school year and beyond.
Are they actually calling them that? Supplemental science materials?
Yes.
That's great.
The Republican-dominated board drew national attention in 2009 when it adopted science standards encouraging schools to scrutinize, quote, all sides of scientific theory, including the sides that are not science.
Exactly.
A spokesman for the Texas Freedom Network, which sides with mainstream science teachers on evolution, says the group is comfortable with materials that have been recommended by the Texas Education Commissioner Robert Scott. The board is under the new leadership of Chairwoman Barbara Cargill, a former biology teacher who disputes the theory of evolution. She is considered one of the panel's more conservative members.
Really? It's hard to believe.
Yeah.
Somebody says, if we have to teach creationism as, quote, science, we must teach alchemy as chemistry. We should totally, and leeching. And, you know, and just, and the idea that it's an imbalance in your bodily humors and gnomes that is causing your migraine.
And in the sex ed class, the stork theory.
Yes. Or that you can just douche with Coca-Cola to prevent unwanted pregnancies.
Well, see, no, that's actually true.
Yeah, it is true. No, I've tried that.
And you have not gotten pregnant yet.
No, no, I have retained my girlish figure.
Knock on wood.
Good, too, because my hips are narrow. That'd be a lot of cracking.
That happened. That's all the science we have. I'm sorry.
Are we going out of my narrow hips?
We are, yeah.
Awesome.
No, I thought we had a very limited bit of science on the march today.
Well, really, what else did we
need? Not much science marching on Thursday.
As your science on the march for Thursday, July 21st, 2011, brought to you by Squires Electric. Find out more at squireselectric.com or facebook.com/squireselectric. Don't forget, coming up next hour, we'll have a little bit more on the space shuttle and so forth. Also, next hour, we get your penis watch coming up. Also, I'm going to write it down this time. Penis watch, corpse watch.
Mm-hmm.
Venus Watch, Corpse Watch.
And Britney Watch.
Awesome, Britney. And also, two installments of The Worst Song You've Ever Heard. That's coming up next hour at the RickEmersonShow.com, where you and all the... Well, I was going to say you and all your family, but unless they're freeloaders, it's really just you. unless you're just trying to take money out of Don Taylor's pockets.
I wouldn't recommend that.
No, and here's the thing, I'm just saying... There are a few things that you could do that would earn yourself worse karma right now than to just actively, to be taking money out of Don Taylor. And when I say Don Taylor, I mean out of Patrick's pockets.
Because first of all, it means you got to put your hands in her pockets.
That's right.
Not recommended at any time.
No.
But especially right now.
No, it comes out just covered in Cheeto dust.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm just saying, if they're going to fashion, if they're going to fashion a brand new kidney out of Patrick's stem cells, that sort of extraction and replication doesn't come cheap. I mean, it doesn't pay for itself. You, and only you, can be amused for the cost of 32 cents a day at the Rick Emerson Show. .com. That's where you can find out more. Here is Mr. Eric Snyder and the news desk for Don Taylor.
Portland police are targeting drivers on cell phones in a sting. They're doing a sting now. People breaking the law by using their cell phones while driving may have found themselves the target of a police sting last night. Police conducted an enforcement mission at the intersection of Southwest Barber Boulevard, Southwest Taylor's Ferry Road, and Southwest 41st Avenue.
That's not a sting. That's just him sitting there by the side of the road and ticketing you.
Apparently, it's also an enforcement mission. That's what it said, enforcement mission.
Are we using leftover terms from the Bush administration, just things that were sitting in a drawer somewhere? Watch this. It's called Vengeful Eagle. Okay, well, let's use it. You know, and it's like when they're squeegeeing a bowling alley clean or something. I think a sting is when there's some sort of a ruse. It's a swindle, a con.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. Yeah. There seems to have been. They're actually enforcing a law that has been sort of.
This is just a cop
disregarded.
Going, hey, you, put that. Now get over here, and then he gives you a ticket.
Still, it's news because, as you know, ever since it became the law, a year and a half ago now, that you couldn't talk on the phone
That's
while
right.
you're driving. People still do.
Yes, they do.
You hardly get tickets for it. But last night, in this 1 hour, they stopped dozens of drivers, issued 21 cell phone citations and 8 warnings.
Well, there's that thing where, you know, it's like on Powell for some reason. Powell must be just where they go when it gets to the... I mean, I don't know if cops actually have a quota system or whatever, but it's like when they get to the end of the month, it seems like they're always just pulling people over just left and right on Powell. So it's about time that somebody else somewhere got the fuzzy end of that particular lollipop. Here's what we're doing, though, with this. I mean, I'm not saying you ought to be texting while you're driving. You probably shouldn't. It seems like it's a bad idea.
Sure.
But we're also, don't you think that just evolutionarily speaking, we are just breeding a race of super driver who can not necessarily text while driving, but who just knows how to text and not be seen while doing so.
I do think that, but I think that until we're done breeding that kind of driver, right now we're still in the phase where people are just crashing into each other.
No, that's true.
It's still a few more generations before we're actually good at it.
Well, look, I mean, natural selection doesn't happen in a vacuum.
That's true.
If people don't keep texting, we're not going to weed out the dumb ones.
That's true.
So I would encourage stupid people to keep texting right now, but only when you are driving on like a country, like a windy road by yourself at night.
Police added, by the way, that it's not only illegal to talk on the phone or text while driving, it's also illegal to use maps or direction apps on your phone. I guess anything that requires your attention on the phone.
Well, they just mean you can't be picking it up and, like, jabbing
right,
at it or something.
Right. Some of the apps give you voice commands.
Mine
you
does
what
that.
To do. Yeah.
Yeah, mine
so
does that.
That's okay.
In a snotty East Coast accent, yeah. I might add. Yeah. So I wonder if this is a thing where, because here's the thing that I found myself doing this morning, and a guy glared at me for it, by the way. Some jagoff was giving me the hairy eyeball. I was coming out of the parking lot of the I have to work
liquor
really
store.
Hard to not
liquor store where you go every morning.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I have to work really hard not to say library for some reason. I think it's because I did it kookily and then it just became a thing I did. But I was coming out of the library and I was at an intersection. I was at the intersection of I guess it's near Belmont, but it's like near Belmont and 39. And I was at a stop sign, so I wasn't going anywhere. But I was listening to a little bit of music on my iPhone, which I had then, you know, plugged into my stereo.
Right.
And I said to myself, well, I could really use a different song other than this one that's playing. And so I picked up my iPhone and I used the Napster service and I'm like scrolling through looking for the particular song that I wanted to hear. And then there's this guy standing on the corner. First of all, he's not even driving.
Right.
He's just standing on a corner. So I mean, really. It's not like he's upwardly mobile. Who is he to criticize me? But he stares in the car, and then he just, like, gives me... He did everything but, like, slowly shake his head and, like, give me, like, the shameful finger thing. But I was... But that's the thing that I feel totally okay about. If I'm stopped at a stoplight, I feel okay about picking up my phone and using it then and there until I begin moving again.
Yes, and I don't know if the law is on your side or not.
I wonder if that's illegal. Because you can use your... You can be punching stuff into your radio while you're stopped.
True.
There's no consistency.
I know.
None.
But you can see how to a bystander... it might look like you're doing some texting or whatever.
I guess. I suppose.
And you would look disapprovingly at someone who you saw texting.
And that guy's just projecting his vehicular envy onto me. That's what he's doing right there.
That's true. Yeah. Good point.
Yeah. Here's Mr. Eric D. Snyder at the news desk.
You
know, it's 12:41 already.
Ah, how the time flies.
This is like a lesson in relativity here.
You know what happened in Guatemala City?
Wait, they saw the Virgin Mary on something.
No, close. A 40-foot sinkhole opened up under a woman's bed.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's not at all like seeing the Virgin Mary on something.
I guess it's not. My mistake. It's nothing like what you said.
No.
It's a 40-foot sinkhole, and it opened up underneath a woman's bed.
Didn't this happen last year as well?
Probably.
Okay.
I get the feeling this sort of thing that happens a lot in Guatemala.
Two things
happen all the time in Guatemala. Seeing Jesus on things and big sinkholes opening up.
Maybe one is a harbinger of the other.
Maybe. Yeah. By the way, this story is better if every time you hear the word sinkhole, you do what I do, which is see the word stinkhole. So okay. A 40-foot stinkhole opened up.
That seems unpleasant.
I know. The first step out of bed could have been a big one. A woman in Guatemala City reports that a stinkhole 40-foot deep and almost 3 feet across opened under her bed Monday.
Now, here's how the story would be better. All right.
Oh. A woman in Guatemala City reports that a sinkhole, 40 feet deep and 3 feet across, opened under her bed Monday. When we heard the loud boom, we thought a gas canister from a neighboring home had exploded or there'd been a crash on the street, says Inocenta Hernandez, 65. We rushed out to look and saw nothing. A gentleman told me that the noise came from my house and we searched until we found it under my bed. The area is prone to sinkholes. Really?
Okay.
Wonder what their first clue was. Probably the sinkhole.
Is this a giant mouth of Sauron, or is it no sinkhole?
Ah.
You're sure?
Guessing the area is prone to sinkholes.
Just checking. All right.
In May 2010,
there was one that swallowed up a goddamn house.
A sinkhole about 60 feet across and 100 feet deep opened in the area, swallowing buildings at an intersection. And in 2007, another sinkhole claimed three lives in Barrio San Antonio in Guatemala City. Hernandez told the AFP that she is thankful the surprise under her bed wasn't any bigger. Thank God there are only material damages because my grandchildren were running around the house into that room and out to the patio, she says.
Sinkhole been very, very bad to me.
Yeah, it sounds like it was very deep. It was 40 feet deep, but only about 3 feet across. So it's fairly narrow as sinkholes go.
Yeah, but know? I mean, so it's 40 feet, wait, it's
40
what?
40 feet deep, but only 3 feet across. So if you fell into it, you could just put your arms out and sort of.
It's more like a sink crevasse.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Anyway, you don't want it under your bed.
No, you really, really don't. Somebody says, this background music is giving me an anxiety attack. Well, I'm just trying to underscore the seriousness of the situation.
Imagine how you'd feel if you were Inocente Hernandez.
Exactly.
65 years old, and you got this giant stink hole under your bed.
And you're unintelligible.
You've got a really thick Guatemalan accent. It's very hard to understand. Think how life is for her.
Constantly having to steal Fritos to survive. Racist.
Yes.
Now it's giving me an anxiety attack.
All right, should I? I'll just.
Ah, much
How
better.
How about this? How about just. Does that alleviate the anxiety?
That's good, and we have a story that fits it. A museum in St. Louis has literally gone to the dogs. The show features the pit bull and aims to dispel myths about what curators call the world's most misunderstood dog. Actually, you know who I think is the world's most understood dog? Misunderstood dog? Scooby-Doo.
Okay. I swear to God, I thought you were going to pick some unpleasant-looking actress. And then I just kept coming up with Sarah Jessica Parker, who, she's a misunderstood
horse.
Horse, yeah.
Yeah. I know this museum in St. Louis, they're doing a pit bull show. Randy Grimm works with the Stray Rescue of St. Louis and says he likes educating visitors about the breed.
No, I'm sad. I have to turn the music off because it's too. Hold on a second. But hold on. I just have to let it go to the.
Okay. Actually, at the turn of the century, they were used for nanny dogs.
That was a big build up to the 4 seconds.
They were nanny dogs.
Uh-huh.
That's if you had kids that you wanted to be eaten by a dog, you'd leave them with the pit bull.
Children with a trust fund of some kind.
It's too bad Don's not here because Don Taylor, of course, has a pit bull who is just as sweet as can be. Bella.
Yeah, and we could make these comments and then watch her have a stroke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she is very defensive about pit
bulls. She really
is. Oh, and with good reason because I agree that they are unfairly maligned. But yeah, so now they got a museum in St. Louis to teach people all about what pit bulls are really like. Which sort. I'm glad Don's not here. It sounds just, like the beginning of Jurassic Park.
No, and it's all just, to me, it peaked with this. All right, really, where are we supposed to go from there? You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Don't forget, you can get this program later on today, if you like, at legionofnews.com or here at Cascadia.fm or via iTunes. And next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program today, Penis Watch, Corpse Watch, Britney Watch, and two installments of the worst song you've ever heard. Here is Mr. Eric D. Snyder, who, by the way, you can hear tomorrow, 11 a.m. to noon, as half of Movie BS with Baron Snyder, right here in Cascadia.fm. Once again, Eric D. Snyder.
A wayward truck crashes into a house, and a man inside is thrown from his couch. This happened down in Milwaukee, Oregon. Police say the driver of a pickup truck lost control and slammed through the bedroom wall of a Milwaukee home late Monday night. The truck then slammed into Jarrett Petrie, who was sitting on a couch inside the house. The force of the crash tossed Petrie across the room. Petrie said, "It felt like an explosion hit me from behind. The truck ran through the wall and pushed me and my girlfriend 5 feet forward in the room. It felt like it was going to come right through. I just saw the headlights right behind me."
I don't understand. So where it hit what? And
apparently ran the truck crossed through two front yards about 11:30 p.m. Then crashed into this house, and then I guess into the house. Through the house into a bedroom wall.
Okay.
On the other side of which was this man and his girlfriend sitting on a couch.
Okay. And so it shoved the couch
hit from behind. Yes.
All right,
yes.
Okay.
And nobody was hurt. Neither the driver nor the people on the couch were seriously hurt.
All right.
The driver was alert and talking afterwards. Police said the driver had a medical condition. I'm guessing that medical condition was drunk.
You have a severe case of tiny brain, sir. We're going to have to put you down right here by the side of the road. I'm sorry it has to be like this.
Investigators have not revealed whether the driver will face any charges in connection with the crash. Oh, so it's a cliffhanger.
Yes.
They haven't revealed it yet.
Is it? I think that I may have cracked the code of the twist ending, though.
Yeah. Yeah. There's
all
one.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to hear about? Oh, I know you do want to hear about this. This is local. The wife of actor Daniel Baldwin, and the word actor is in quotation marks, the wife of actor Daniel Baldwin is sentenced to jail. This is the one who lives in Lake Oswego, Baldwin.
Let me guess. Shoplifting. Drunk and disorderly.
You're on the right track.
Domestic violence.
I think all of those.
Okay.
Her name is Joanne Baldwin. She's 41. She's been ordered to spend 10 days in jail for violating her probation on a previous drunken driving charge.
Just wait here till I go shoplift a hammer, and I'm going to come back and get to work on you, Daniel Baldwin.
She's already served some of the time, so she will be released from jail in a couple days. She'll also have to wear an alcohol monitoring device and attend AA meetings. Daniel Baldwin previously filed for divorce and a restraining order, claiming that she punched him and threatened him with a knife in front of the couple's two children. Daniel Baldwin did not attend Wednesday's court proceeding.
It seems like if you want to make sure she's not consuming any alcohol, you just leave her in the presence of Daniel Baldwin, because there's not going to get anywhere near her mouth.
That's true.
I mean, he is an alcoholic. He is a distilled black hole from which no alcohol can escape.
I don't like this, that she's threatening their children with a wife. No, or threatening him with a knife in front of the children.
No, and it just, you know, here's the thing. As I said the other day, I was rewatching some of the early seasons of Homicide, on which he was, and I think did quite well playing a sweaty, unshaven, one shirt owning drunken ne'er do well,
right?
Who eventually dies in the shower. But can I just speak for everybody here when I say, look, I don't mean to be that guy, and Rick Emerson's not. I'm not saying I'm above anybody. I'm not trying to be hoity toity. I'm not trying to be exclusionary about this.
Sure.
But, Eric, I think I speak for everyone when I say that there are certain kinds of people that we don't wish to have in our town.
I agree.
That there are people who are, they're our sort, and then the people who are not our sort.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Daniel Baldwin is perhaps in the latter category, and he should be asked to move, to go somewhere, perhaps to Lentz.
What about his drunken, violent wife? Well, soon to be ex-wife.
Seems like her little red wagon has been fixed, though, right? They stuck her on the who's gal.
Yeah, but only for a couple of days, because it was just for violating probation.
Yeah.
So who knows?
Whatever happened to the days when folks like this just hopped a tramp steamer and weren't seen again?
Yeah, what did happen to those days?
I don't know.
Well, that's sad. Hey,
I don't really know what a tramp steamer is. Is it a train or is it a boat?
I always assumed it had to do with tramps, like it's a boat that takes hobos places.
Right, but I mean, is it when it's a steamer?
Hmm.
That could be a train. Right, because trains, right, steam engine train.
Yeah.
But then it could also, but I never knew if it was a boat.
Yeah.
I thought it could be a boat as well.
That's true. I think of a boat too, but yeah.
But that's probably wrong. See, here, that's the weird thing. I think of a boat, but it's probably not. It's probably a train.
If only there was some way of finding out what a tramp steamer is.
If only there was some repository of knowledge where one might be able to discern the answer to this. If only there was some place where, if only there was something I could do to, maybe to kill time while we just...
steamers are steamships. And a tramp is a ship that does not operate on a fixed schedule. They engage in spot freight, picking up contracts as they become available.
Wait, so it has nothing to do with actual tramps?
No, it's the kind of boat it is. Not the kind of boat, but the thing that the boat does.
My whole world is falling apart.
It's a steamship that just sort of works, here and there on commission, as a tramp would do.
Okay.
Huh.
A little sort of higgledy-piggledy.
Interesting.
Okay.
Interesting.
All right.
So now we know.
Coming up next hour, the Rick Emerson Radio Program, and if you like the amusing yet delightfully scattershot nature of this show, that is a thing you really ought to be listening to. That'll be next hour at rickemersonshow.com. Do we have entertainment news?
We do.
Boy, howdy. Let's do some of that. Here's your entertainment news for Thursday here at Legion of News.
Grey's Anatomy star Eric Dane is in rehab. He was... Do you watch Grey's Anatomy?
I watched Grey's Anatomy... I think I watched Grey's Anatomy the way that a lot of people did. That I lived with someone who was watching it.
Right.
And she made it through about 7 episodes, and she went, well, this is terrible. And I said, yes, it is. And she said, well, let's not watch this anymore. And that's a great idea. And then I didn't watch it again.
So I don't know if Eric Dane was McSteamy or McDreamy or McTreamy.
No, that's Patrick Dempsey.
Well, but there were two of them. There was a McDreamy and a McSteamy.
Really?
Yeah.
Is a McSteamy one that is just sort of scattershot and it operates here and there whenever it strikes?
I don't know.
With tramps?
Eric Dane may have been one of those. Anyway, he's in rehab now due to an addiction to prescription painkillers.
All right, then.
His representative said, Eric Dane voluntarily checked himself into a treatment facility to help him get off pain medication that he was prescribed for a sports injury that he suffered over the recent hiatus of the show. Dane's wife is actress Rebecca Gayhart, and she's pregnant with their second child.
Hey, you know... wait, so Rebecca Gayhart, she's who? What would I know her from?
I don't know, but she's you get her mixed up with Marcia Gay Harden.
Okay.
But they're not the same person.
That's the thing. And you know who else I get mixed up? I was thinking about this the other day.
Hmm.
I get Gene Triplehorn mixed up with... Ah, damn it, now I've just lost it. Who's the other woman in Jade?
I don't remember.
Who's on Big Love? Is that Gene Triplehorn?
Yes.
Okay. I get her mixed up with... Is it Linda Fiorentino?
That's a person.
Do I get the two of them? No, I don't even know.
Maybe. Linda Fiorentino was in Jade.
Okay. I get the two of them mixed up.
I could see that. I could see that.
That might not be true. I might be confusing her with somebody
else. Slight resemblance.
Yeah.
I get that.
I get Gene Triplehorn mixed up with somebody. All right. Well, that was a less interesting anecdote than I thought it would be. That ended up not being so good. We'll edit that out later.
You know why the name Triple Horn comes from?
No.
It's from when her family came over Ellis Island. They had three horns.
Really?
And that was the name they gave them.
And they were crudely sawed off by a man who didn't understand their culture and heritage.
But gave them that name. They would call you Triple Horn.
Over there, Spotty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
Right.
Zach Braff is not gay. So shut up.
Are you saying that as you or is that as his publicist? Or
I'm saying that's as...
Are you in character as somebody right
as
now?
As his publicist, I suppose.
Okay.
His old website, Zach Braff's website, was hacked. And the culprit left a message claiming that he is excited and proud that I'm an open member of the homosexual community. Braff's publicist told E! News that the announcement...
That's not even really funny, and yet I'm laughing at it.
Well, to think that you would bother to hack into someone's website, and that's the message you choose to leave.
I swear for a minute I thought you were going to say his former website, I'm Zach Braff and I'm gay.com right. or something.
His publicist said he was hacked. The website has not been used since 2006. He's still straight. Good news, ladies. Zach Braff is still straight.
In other news, he has a website that he hasn't used for 6 years. What is up with that?
He also has a career that he hasn't used since 2006.
Bam!
Zoing!
Zing!
Nyang!
Awesome. That's fantastic.
Hey, American Idol Simon Fuller. That's the creator of American Idol, which I guess is a television program of some sort.
Apparently on one of the lower channels.
Yeah. Well, the creator is suing Fox Broadcasting Company, alleging that the network failed to give him an executive producer credit on the upcoming show, The X Factor. The suit reads, as often happens in Hollywood, however, binding promises made one day for expediency turn out to be cast aside when it comes time to perform. So yeah, this man who created American Idol says he deserves an executive producer credit on The X Factor and says he's not getting one.
So somebody in Hollywood told him they were going to do something and he just said, I trust you.
Sure.
Okay, that's great.
He's just off the boat from England.
I think a guy just said it like over like his fifth mint julep or something. And oh, that's great. I'm sure you won't screw me in the end. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Okay.
The fourth season of the FX show Sons of Anarchy will have a 90-minute season premiere on Tuesday, September 6th. Do you watch that program?
I do. I do
hear
indeed.
It's very good.
It is.
I have not
quite
watched
good.
It.
It's quite good. It's not perfect, but it's quite good. In my opinion, they stumbled just a bit in the third season, but it was that it was kind of the good stumble in that. It was just because they bit off a lot. I mean, they really swung for the fences.
Which is better than not trying at all.
I would rather have that than just mediocrity year after year after year. So it is quite a good show. Don watches that. Did you watch The Shield?
Mm-hmm. Love The Shield.
Okay, it is. Well, then you want to watch this because it's made by one of the guys from The Shield, Kurt Sutter, who was one of the writers,
right.
One of the staff writers on The Shield. And it takes place in the same universe as well.
Oh, really?
There's no direct crossover as such, but they make references. It takes place in the same in-universe sort of existence as The Shield. Tonally, it is very similar.
Oh.
It is imagine if Mackie and the strike team, if they were not cops, if they were a biker gang, and that's kind of
the deal. That is not hard to imagine.
Yeah, I mean, that pretty much is that show. I mean, it's really good. And Katie Sagal...
I've heard she's fantastic.
Freaking
on it.
Fantastic. Yeah. She is amazing on that program.
I should watch that. I wonder if I could catch up by September 6th. I bet I could if I put my mind to it.
I think it's only like 13 episode seasons.
I could do that.
Yeah. No, it's. I strongly recommend it.
Also, the new season of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia will premiere on September 15th. That's another great show. Bradley Cooper from The Hangover and other stuff. He's going to play Lucifer in Paradise Lost, a movie based on the classic poem by John Milton. The project, which will be directed by Alex Proyas, who made that film Knowing with Nicolas Cage last year, where The Numbers... Remember The Numbers and Nicolas Cage and The Numbers?
Yes.
Yeah, anyway, that director, he's directing Paradise Lost.
He also made something else that was terrible, didn't he?
He made...
Or did he make something I liked?
I think he made something that was good. Alex Proyas...
He didn't do Tombstone, though.
No, I want to say that he made Dark City. Yes, Dark City.
Okay, that's why I liked him.
Yes.
And then he did... And then he did like a series of bad films, I think, after that. Or at least one very bad film.
Well, after Dark City, he made I, Robot. And then Knowing. And that's it, actually. A couple of music videos and stuff.
Yeah, all right. So that's coming up next year.
That could be interesting, yeah.
Well, on that note, ladies and gentlefolk, wait, hold on. Where's the... Fantastic. Bring the curtain down on this, another exciting episode of Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. We want to thank Mr. Eric D. Snyder for sitting in for Don Taylor today. Don't forget, you can hear him tomorrow as part of half of... You're only part of half. As 1/15th. As half of Movie BS with Bear and Snyder, right here.
I'm the Snyder half.
At Cascadia.fm.
And film.com, if you would be so kind as to mention.
Oh, that's right, film.com. Also, EricDSnyder.com. And you can...
Sorry, I threw you off.
I don't know where I was going there. I was going to do another layer of something, and it just fell apart. I'm not that bright. Rick Emerson Show coming up next hour at rickemersonshow.com. We come to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the Milkpacking District in glorious Southeast Portland, Oregon. At the news desk, Eric D. Snyder and for Don Taylor, Advanced Technology, Magic Buffet by Mr. Thomas Gill, Executive Producer, Bruce Agler, Chief of Staff, Cheryl Kinnikoa. As always, we thank you for listening, and we will see you again tomorrow at noon. Good day to you, sir. I said good day to you.